want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the way that we have light for dark days. This year, I would say, and we would probably agree in many ways, there have been many dark days for millions of people, not only in our nation, but around the world. Even if we personally have been spared the suffering of being sick or losing a job or facing eviction or losing a loved one, probably all of us in some way have felt the weight and the heaviness of these past months. And you personally may have had some dark days, and maybe you're experiencing some dark days even now. I think it's fair to say that in our lives at various times, we can expect some dark times. We can expect dark days. We all have those days from time to time. Days perhaps of confusion, where we don't know what decision to make, or we don't understand why things are happening around us the way that they are. There may be dark days of conflict, where we find ourselves being in strained relationships with, maybe it's someone in our family, or maybe it's a coworker or someone in the church. We have dark days of disappointment, dark days of loss. We may have dark days of loneliness and grief and stress. We may have dark days of anxiety and fear that we feel like we can't control and we can't understand why, even as much as we may pray and even as much as we may read the Bible, we still feel that heaviness or that darkness. We may have dark days of heartbreak. The prophet Isaiah described a time in the history of the people of Israel when they were going through a dark time. They had turned away from the light of God. They had become hard-pressed and hungry. And when they became hungry, and we're talking about literally hungry, not just figuratively, when they became hungry, they got angry. And what they did is they cursed their king and they cursed God. And they looked around, and Isaiah describes it that all they could see is trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish. And the scriptures say that they were driven into darkness. Often when we're faced with hard circumstances in our lives, we might feel overwhelmed with a sense of darkness. And in those moments, the temptation is to give in and to succumb to the darkness, or we can make the choice to turn to the light and the light of Christ, which gives us hope. Just shortly after Isaiah described the people of Israel who were in a very dark time and a dark place. And Isaiah 9 verse 2, which happens to be a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah and is quoted later in Matthew. In Isaiah 9 verse 2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." In Matthew 4, that verse is quoted about Jesus. The people were walking in darkness, but they've seen a great light, and that light was Jesus Christ, God's Son. And that light had shined, and the light had dawned in the land of the shadow of death. If you look back at this past year, I mean, definitely there have been a lot of people who have been walking in the dark, because this has been a heavy, difficult year. There have been people who feel like they're living in a shadow. There has been fear of suffering and death that hangs over, seems like it hangs over our nation as a whole. We can identify with that sense where God's people in Israel, at different points in time, felt like they were in a shadow or in the shadow of death. I love the fact, though, that throughout Scripture, there's all of these verses that speak to us about light and darkness. And just a couple of them that I was reading this past week, the one is found in 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. And David says there, "You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light." And Psalm 18, verse 28 is a quote of that same, it's first recorded in 2 Samuel, but it's recorded again in Psalm 18, and it's just a little bit different. The psalmist says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." Now, we realize in those days that the lamps that they had were not electric lamps, and they weren't battery-operated lamps. You had to put oil in the lamp, And so the psalmist gives this beautiful picture. Lord, you keep my lamp burning. You turn my darkness into light. What a beautiful expression. Because in all of our lives, if we're honest, there are times of darkness, and yet we have this incredible hope that God turns our darkness into light. And then later in 1 John in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 5, John writes this: "This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So the darkness that we might feel from times or we might see in our world today is not something that comes from God, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Job, in all of the suffering that he went through, the depth of suffering that he went through, losing all of his wealth, losing his family, losing his health, in all of the suffering that he went through, there's a point in time when he says, "Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning." And when he's saying that, that hadn't happened yet. He was in the midst of some of the deepest suffering that anybody could go through. And he says, "Life will be brighter than noonday." Isn't that a great verse to hold on to? I mean, when you look at this coming year, 2021, can you say with confidence and faith, life will be brighter than noonday? It might not feel like it right now, but life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. Jesus said, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So we have these promises that are so filled with hope that we don't have to dwell or abide in darkness, because the light of Christ has shined in our hearts. Christ is our light, and it is a light that breaks the darkness. Light breaks darkness. So the question that I want us to think about this morning for a little bit is this: how does the light of Christ help us in our dark days? Well, I'm going to suggest three things to you, and the first one is this: light illuminates. You know, when we're in a dark place or when things are difficult in our life, sometimes it's hard to see clearly and know. We can't understand maybe what God is trying to do in the midst of the suffering that we're going through. But light illuminates. It gives us perspective. It clarifies things around us. It lets us see the path. And I love that imagery because, there's nothing quite like flipping on a light switch and the light comes on in your house and suddenly it feels so much warmer than the darkness. We realize that for much of human history, there were no electric lights and there weren't spotlights and floodlights and hanging, whatever kind of light that is. You lit a candle, or you started a fire, or you had an oil lamp. If you ever go to Mammoth Cave down in Kentucky, any of you been through Mammoth Cave? If you take the one guided tour that goes through there, you're going pretty deep down into the earth and through some really narrow passageways, just kind of hewn out of the rock over the years. But they've put little lights along the way, so you can see what's around you. And eventually they take you out into this one big, huge cavern where the roof of this cave is, you know, probably 20, 30 feet high, but it's lit, and you can see around, and it's amazing to see that. But at one point in time, the guide, if you've been on that same tour as we went on a number of years ago, the guide says, "Okay, make sure you don't have any of your flashlights on or lighters or anything like that. I'm going to turn the lights off." And with one flip of the switch, that entire huge cavern is so pitch black and so dark that you cannot see. I've heard people say, "Well, you can't see your face or your hand in front of your face." You literally can't. You could take your hand and wave it back and forth. You cannot see it because it's so dark. That is the darkest dark I think I've ever been in my life. But then he did one simple little thing. He took out a Bic lighter, I think it was, and he flicked his Bic and the flame came up. And just from one little flame, you could see that whole cavern. You could see the walls. You could see the details in the rock, because just one little bit of light dispelled the darkness that was in that room. Darkness can never overcome light, But light in just an instant can dispel darkness. And I think there's a spiritual application to that. We don't need to fear being overwhelmed with a sense of darkness because we have the light of Christ. And when that darkness comes, and it may feel like it stays for a while, but when it comes, the light of Christ will ultimately dispel that darkness and we have hope. What do you do when the electric goes out in your house? You have either a battery or a candle, and you can see something with just lighting a candle. Back when our kids were young, the only vacations we could afford were camping vacations. And I'm not talking about camping in an RV. I'm talking about camping in a tent. I'm not talking about camping with blow-up air mattresses and cots. I'm talking about sleeping in sleeping bags on the ground. I'm not talking about camping in a nice campground where there were bathrooms with running water and flushing toilets and electricity. I'm talking about camping in the primitive campground in, but usually it was McCormick's Creek State Park. And in those days, the primitive campground had no street lights. It had a pit toilet. You know what, most of you, I think, probably know what a pit toilet is. And in those days, there was no lights in the pit toilet. So if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night in a dark primitive camping area, you better take a flashlight with you. I can guarantee you, you do not want to go in a pit toilet in the black of night without any light. Now they've, you know, kind of modernized. There's a few little street lights around in the campgrounds of the at McCormick's Creek. And if you open the door now in the pit toilet, a light comes on and a fan goes on. So it kind of, you know, takes the romance away of camping. We need a light to dispel the darkness. And in John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people around him who were gathered listening to his teaching, and he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." What an incredible hope that is. Christ illuminates our life through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through prayer. So in the dark days when you can't see the way forward, you need the light of Christ. And Christ shines his light through his word, through his spirit, through prayer. The second thing that light does is light heals. In a very practical sense, it lightens our spirit. It uplifts us. If you go through a stretch where it's like overcast and gloomy for weeks on end, and finally the sun comes out, it does something to light your spirit. But light also heals in very practical ways. Laser surgery and different laser treatments, UV light, which kills various germs and viruses. There's light therapy to help people, especially who may be going through seasonal affective disorder in the dark months of the winter. Light has a healing quality, which is really interesting. Because when you look back at the very beginning of the creation narrative, the first thing that God says is, "Let there be light," and there was light. Behind all the creative forces in this universe, behind all of the coming into existence of the galaxies and the stars of our universe and all of the life that came on planet Earth, before that was light. And that light is the light of men. That light is Christ. So light has healing quality. Light has energy. And Christ is light. You know, in very practical ways, some of the times to tell somebody who may be going through a discouraging time, especially in the winter, or may feel that darkness, is like, get outside. Get out into the sunlight. Take a drive. Back in March and April, when everything was first shut down with COVID, one of the things that Jenny and I did was we got in the car and drove out in the country, back roads through Bargersville and Trafalgar, and drive to a state park just to get out in the sunlight and to drive. Light gives warmth. Light brings comfort. Light is healing, but not just in a physical sense. You remember if you were around, I don't even remember, must have been early summer maybe, And we went through a study of the book of Job, or the end of spring, early summer, and we were looking at all the things that Job was going through. Do you know that 35 times in that book, Job spoke about darkness? I mean, and we can identify, because, I mean, if ever there was somebody who suffered physically, emotionally, even spiritually, wondering where God was and why he was allowing him to go through those things, it was Job. It was Job. He lost everything that he owned. He lost all of his children in a horrible, tragic natural disaster. He lost his own physical health and was miserable. 35 times in the book of Job, he speaks about darkness, because he was living with that darkness. And yet there came a time in Job's life where this is what he said: God has delivered me from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light of life. We have this incredible hope that God's light shines, and it encourages us. It shows us the way. It brings healing to us. The light of God's word brings healing to our emotions. The light of God's spirit brings healing to our relationships. The light of Christ can bring healing to our body and to our mind. So it's not just a nebulous thing like, well, you know, I'm just going to go sit out cross-legged in the yard and wait for this bright light to shine on me. No, we get the light of Christ through his word. We get the light of Christ through his spirit when we pray. We get the light of Christ through our relationships with other believers. And the light of God's word and the light of his spirit and the light of our relationships with those who are part of the family of God, all of those things can bring healing into our life. The light of Christ can bring healing to our mind and our body. And so in these dark days, when you may feel wounded and you are in pain, you need the light of Christ, because the light of Christ encourages, the light of Christ heals, the light of Christ transforms. The third thing is that light causes things to grow. I watched several like National Geographic specials, and I think I've told you about some of those before, where it talks about the Arctic winter, and it's like pitch black for, you know, basically 24/7 for a period of time. And I think, how in the world could you even stand to live in that environment? But nothing green is, everything's covered in ice, and nothing is living during that period of time, or so it seems. And then when the Arctic spring comes and the sun starts coming out, it's amazing how quickly not only does the ice begin to melt, but all of this vegetation starts sprouting up through the ground, which has lain dormant. Light causes things to grow. We tried to plant a garden once. Any of you, I know at least one person in here has a good garden, but any of you have gardens? Yes. I tried. We tried. Most of you know we live up in the woods, not the best place to try a garden, but one spring we decided we picked this perfect spot that we thought would have sufficient light. I built a raised bed. I put chicken wire on the bottom so that the voles and moles couldn't get up through it. I put the black paper down to keep the weeds from coming up. I bought really good quality dirt. We went to a garden store and bought starter plants for cherry tomatoes, beefsteak tomatoes. I think we had several kinds of peppers. We had zucchini and squash. Everybody that grows zucchini has it coming out of their ears. I mean, you got to give away zucchini because it grows so well. I think we planted some lettuce, some cabbage. Problem was, we planted in what we thought was a sunny spot until all the leaves finally came out. I mean, I should have known that 5 feet away from a large tree is not going to maintain, but I thought the sun, you know, coming up, it would have, no, there was not enough sunlight. We did have a little bit of a harvest. I'm not joking about this. We had 5 cherry tomatoes. 5. Usually you get baskets full. We had 1 one tomato. It wasn't even fully formed as big as it should have been, but it, we had one tomato. We had a couple of hot peppers and three other small sweet peppers. The broccoli didn't grow. I think cabbage didn't grow. Zucchini did not grow. Not even the smallest speck of a zucchini plant. Nothing grew. No squash, no yellow squash, no zucchini, nothing. That raised garden bed turned into a mud pit that our grandsons loved to play in instead of the sandbox. We had a sandbox, they liked the mud pit better. So I learned that shade does not produce much. Now, there are some ferns and mosses that thrive in the shade, but if you want to grow a vegetable garden, you need light. Light causes things to grow. And I say that just to emphasize the fact that we begin to shrivel up spiritually and emotionally when we don't keep ourselves in the light. What we read, what we watch, how we spend our time is more important than we may realize. And we can spend a lot of time, you know, keeping up with all, we haven't had anything to keep up with this past year, have we? COVID-19, the elections, the economy. We can get so immersed in all of that stuff that we begin to shrivel up spiritually and emotionally because we're not keeping ourselves in the light. And it's important what we read, what we watch, how we spend our time. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us can make choices that are destructive, and rather than causing us to grow and thrive spiritually in our relationship with God, and rather than causing us to grow and thrive in our relationship with other people, we can make choices that put us in a dark place. And in the dark days when you might feel stagnant and stuck in your life and in your spiritual life, you need the light of Christ. I love what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. It says, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Let's hold on to that as we go into this coming year. We need to remind ourselves that if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if we have committed our life to Him and we're following Him, we are children of light. We are children of the day and not the night. We don't belong to the night and we don't belong to the darkness. So let me give you three things to do as you go into this next year. When we gather together here next Sunday, it's going to be January 3rd. And we will have, in some way, celebrated the end of this year and the coming of a new year. So these three things, let me just encourage you to make a commitment to these. First of all, commit to reading the Bible every day to give you light for your path. And one of the most familiar psalms is, and I'll quote it in the way I know it, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word, your God's word is a light to our path. It's a light to help us in our daily walk. Commit to reading the Bible every day to give you light for your path. And I'll send out by email this next week. There's so many options. YouVersion is a great Bible app that there's all kinds of reading plans on there. And there's daily devotionals you can use. There's lots of other reading plans that you can do online. I can send you a reading plan, which I'll do in the email, that you could print off and stick in your Bible. We tend to look at that sometimes as, well, this is a real burden to read my Bible every day. But it's like, no, it's a light to your path. Commit to reading the Bible every day to give light to your path. And then the second one is to determine to avoid those things which produce dark thoughts or dark feelings. I mean, we let so much stuff into our minds from what we hear, what we see, what we read. Determine that those things, and you know, and we're all different in some ways, you know those things that pull you down or make you feel like you're in a dark place. Determine to avoid those things which produce dark thoughts or feelings. And then the third one is simply this: look for ways to share the light of Christ to others around you. There are so many people who are hurting and struggling. We know that. We see it on the news. We see it around us. We need to look for ways that we can share the light and love of Christ to others around us. If we want to walk in the light and not in the darkness as we go into this coming year, it's really important that we commit to reading God's Word, because it is a light to our path. And included in that, I would say we read God's Word and we pray and ask God to apply that to our lives. We determine to avoid those things which are going to produce dark thoughts or feelings. We guard our minds. And we watch out about what we're watching. We are careful about what we're reading online. There's so much darkness out there that just wants to suck us in, and we need to determine that we will avoid those things that produce dark thoughts and feelings, and that we will look for ways to share the light of Christ to those who are around us. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, we thank you that you are the light of this world. And we look to you as you are revealed in your word. We look to you as you become real through your Spirit in our lives. We look to you and the reflection we see of you and your church and your people. And we realize that we need your light, and that your light does dispel the darkness. Your light illuminates our path. Your light heals. Your light causes us to grow and flourish. So help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Help us to let your word be the light that guides us and directs our decisions and our lives. Help us to share your light and love with the world around us who so desperately needs you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Seal it in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Give us the determination to walk closely with you into this next year. Let your light guide us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.